just before I read my main scripture tonight, there was one verse in John's Gospel that I wanted to read, and that is in John chapter 8, verse 36. That's page 1280. John chapter 8, verse 36. John 8:36. If therefore the Son shall set you free, you shall be really free. If therefore the Son shall set you free, you shall be really free. The gospel is preached tonight so that you and everyone that hears the message might be set free. Set free from the power of sin. Set free from the devil and his hold over us. Set free to worship God. Set free to live with God in heaven. Our freedom is being taken away in many different ways. But real, true freedom, dear friends, is freedom from the power of sin. So the gospel is preached tonight so that you and I and everyone may be truly set free from the bondage and from the entrapment that Satan tries to put over us. So I'd like to read next in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, verse 27. Page 1188. Matthew 27, verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor, having taken Jesus with them to the praetorium, gathered against him the whole band, and having taken off his garment, put on him a scarlet cloak. And having woven a crown out of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand. And bowing the knee before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And having spit upon him, they took the reed and beat him on his head. And when they had mocked him, they took the cloak off him and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify. And as they went forth, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to go with them, that he might bear his cross. And having come to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they gave to him to drink vinegar mingled with gall. And having tasted it, he would not drink. And having crucified him, they parted his clothes amongst themselves, casting lots. And sitting down, they kept guard over him there. And they set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then I crucified with him two robbers, one on the right hand and one on the left. But the passers-by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou art Son of God, descend from the cross." And in like manner the chief priests, also mocking with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. He is King of Israel, let him descend now from the cross, and we will believe on him. He trusted upon God, let him save him now if we will have him. For he said, I am Son of God." And the robbers also who had been crucified with him cast the same reproaches on him. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. But about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of those who stood there, when they heard it, said, "This man calls for Elias." And immediately one of them, running and getting a sponge, and having filled it with vinegar and fixed it on a reed, gave him to drink. But the rest said, "Let be, let us see if Elias comes to save him." And Jesus, having cried again with a loud voice, gave up the ghost. And lo, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom, from the earth, and the earth was shaken, and the rocks were rent, and the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints fallen asleep arose, and going out of the tombs, after his arising, entered into the holy city, and appeared unto many. But the centurion and they who were with him on guard over Jesus, seeing the earthquake and the things that took place, feared greatly, saying, "Truly this man was Son of God." I was thinking about the theme of being saved, or being set free. We read in John 8, verse 36, "If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed." The gospel is preached so that you might be saved and set free. We sung in the hymn, "Himself he could not save." In this passage here, they said, "He saved others, himself he could not save." We're familiar with the idea of a lifeboat going out and rescuing people, saving them from the ocean, or people being saved out of a burning building. The Lord Jesus Christ could not save himself, because he came in to save you, dear friends. And the Lord Jesus Christ went and died this death. So I wanted to have a look at this passage that tells us quite a lot about what the Lord Jesus went through for you and me, so that you and I might be saved. Might be saved from the eternal judgment of our sins. Might be saved from the terrible judgment that is coming upon us because we are sinners and away from God. How wonderful love it is, dear friends, that God does not desire anyone to be lost. God's love is so great that he wants every single person in the world to be saved. He does not desire the death of a sinner. He wants everyone to be saved. Some people think that God is a hard and judgmental God. God is a loving God, dear friends, and he has provided a way of escape for you to be saved out of this world. Because this world is going down like a sinking ship, isn't it? It's getting worse, and every day, many signs around us that this world is getting worse. What happened to Jesus in order that you might be saved? What happened to him? The perfect, spotless, holy Lamb of God, who did nothing but show grace and kindness and love. He went about healing those who were oppressed of the devil. He went about healing sickness. He went about showing God's love to everyone. What happened to him? Let's look at what happened to him. They gathered against him the whole band. That's the third part of a group of 500 men. In other words, they gathered together, the soldiers gathered together against Jesus. And they wove a crown out of thorns. We may be familiar with the crown of thorns, a picture of man's cruelty and hatred. Huge thorns that were grown in that area. And they plaited a crown of thorns and thrust it, put it, shoved it down hard on his head. Think of the suffering that must have been involved in that. They bowed the knee before him and mocked him. Maybe you know what it's like to be mocked and to be ill-treated. And they spit upon him. Spitting upon someone is about the strongest insult that you can possibly give them. Think of the shame of that. I don't know whether that's ever been done to you, hopefully not. Think of the shame of that. That shows to someone that you absolutely despise them. It shows to someone that you think that they are a waste of space, absolutely worthless. How sad, what awful shame that was, that the Lord Jesus, the Lord of glory, had to bear that. We're very used to reading these passages, perhaps, but when we actually think of the horror of what it was that he went through for you and for me. To spit upon someone is to show them the greatest possible insult. They mocked him, and they led him away to crucify him. Before that, it tells us in one of the other Gospels that Pilate had scourged the Lord Jesus. That means to be whipped with a Roman whip. Very, very brutal experience indeed. Many prisoners did not even survive that whipping, let alone going to the cross. And they take him to a place of a skull, and they crucify him in verse 35. They nail him feet and hands to a Roman cross. He could not be saved, dear friends, because he came in to save you. He came in to save you from the wrath of God's anger and judgment against sin. Think of the awful horror of the cross and what it meant for the Lord Jesus to go that way. But notice in verse 36, they kept guard over him there. Why would they keep guard over a man who had been crucified and nailed to a cross? There's something very different about Jesus, dear friends. something very, very different. That's a study in itself, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ is unique. He's different from every other man. He's different from every other human being. He's fully God and fully man. A perfect life. He lived a life that had no sin in it. He lived a perfect life that was completely pleasing to a holy God and showed grace and love to everyone. And yet they're guarding him at the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ was there in your place, and he was crucified between two robbers. There's a robber on each side of him, one on the right hand and one on the left. He took his place amongst sinners, dear friends. He was treated just like a robber. He was treated just like a criminal. The punishment reserved for the worst criminals. He took my place on that cross. Can you say in your heart that he took your place? Can you say that you know for certain that he was there for you? The gospel is preached so that you might know in your heart that that he was there for you. He was there on your behalf. He was there because of the wicked things that you and I have done. We cannot fully take in the horror of what the Lord Jesus suffered. And then they mocked him again. They walked past, shaking their heads and saying, "You that destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you're Son of God, save yourself." They were tempting him to come down from the cross. He couldn't save himself, dear friends, if you and me were to be saved. And he knew that you and I would be in this gospel preaching in this day in 2021. He knew that we would be here and needing a saviour. He knew that the only chance for you to be saved would be for him to go through that and suffer that awful anguish on Calvary's cross. And he knew that he alone was able to do that. And his love was so great towards you, dear friends, so great towards you, that he's waited upon you in grace. He's waiting for you to come to him. They went past and they mocked and they said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save." Isn't that touching? He could have saved himself. He could have called on legions of angels to take him down, or he said that already himself. He could have saved himself, but he chose not to, dear friends. He chose in perfect obedience to his God and Father to go on with that work on the cross, so that you and I might have an opportunity this time, this day, in 2021, to put our faith and trust in what he has done at Calvary's cross and be washed clean from our sins by recognising that he was there because of you and me. He saved others, himself he cannot save. He trusted upon God, let him save him now if we will have him. For he had said, "I am Son of God." The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, dear friends. All the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell in him. How do we know that? We know that because of the miracles. We know that because of what he said. He is fully God. That's the fundamental part of Christianity. And that's why he's able to go to the cross to save you and me from our sins. Forgiveness is available tonight. A lot of lack of forgiveness is one of the biggest problems in the world today, isn't it? People don't want to forgive others for what they've done against them. Lack of forgiveness causes hatred and bitterness between people across the world. It's the cause of many wars, and it's the cause of much strife and anguish and suffering. But God, the Holy God, offers you forgiveness tonight. Offers you forgiveness of all of your sins. He offers you full and free forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ for everything that you have done, so that you might be washed clean. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from every sin. Because Jesus would not be saved, you and I can be saved tonight. Mercy's door is open for you tonight, dear friends, to receive that free and full forgiveness from the Lord Jesus because of what he has done at Calvary's cross. Everyone is within the scope of the gospel. No one is too great a sinner. The robbers either side of Jesus were very, very bad sinners. They're no worse than you and me. Just the same as you and me, we're all the same. We're like two sinners either side of Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ died so that you might be saved. So that you might be like one of those robbers who was saved and became a Christian. In verse 45, something amazing happens, doesn't it? The creator of the universe, God, sends darkness over the whole land for 3 hours. Something is amazing is happening. Something incredible is happening. The Lord Jesus Christ cried out in the middle of that time, "Why, my God, why have you forsaken me?" God turned his back on the Lord Jesus Christ. God rejected, God turned his back and punished the Lord Jesus Christ so that you and I might never be punished for our sins, dear friends. He bore our sins in his own body at the tree. And he cried out with a loud voice in verse 50 and gave up the ghost. When people were crucified on the cross, they normally often died very slowly and often through suffocation. They could no longer pull up their body against the nails and therefore they died of lack of breath. What a terrible way to die. The Lord Jesus Christ cried out with a loud voice and laid down his life. He gave his life. He gave his life for you so that you might have eternal life. Do you have that eternal life, dear friends? Have you believed by faith and put your faith and trust in what he has done? Romans 10 tells us, with the heart is believed to salvation. If you shall confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from among the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart is believed to righteousness, and with the mouth confession made to salvation. That, dear friends, is the way to be saved. And the Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins, and the darkness was for 3 hours, and he gave up the ghost. He laid down his life at Calvary's cross. But what did he do 3 days later, dear friends? What joy it is to the heart of every true forgiven sinner that the Lord Jesus Christ broke the power of death. And dear friends, that is available to you tonight by faith as you put your faith and trust in what Jesus has done at Calvary's cross. And know that we are truly saved from the terrible effects of sin. We are saved from the eternal judgment of sin, of God against sin, by putting our faith and trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. There was such a great event when Jesus died that there was an earthquake. Notice that in verse 54. And then the centurion, who I believe became a Christian, he said, "Truly this man was Son of God." In the life of Jesus, there are some very interesting people that become Christians. And two of them are one of the robbers that was crucified next to him and the centurion. These are the most unlikely people to be saved. And yet they saw their need of a saviour. They saw their need of forgiveness. They recognised that they were sinners. And they saw the greatness of who Jesus is. And the gospel is preached, even through a weak preacher, the gospel is preached so that you and I might see your need. Might see your need before a holy God. But above all, might see the beauty and wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the centurion was a man just like that. He saw who Jesus is. And dear friends, the gospel is preached so that you might see who Jesus is. The centurion said, "Truly, this man was Son of God." If he's the Son of God, dear friends, and he is, he's able to save you from your sins. He's able to redeem you. He's able to save you from eternal judgment. And 3 days later, as I said, he rose again. The tomb is empty. The empty tomb is the proof of Christianity. It's the foundation. It's the reason why Christians are filled with joy when we celebrate the greatness of what the Lord Jesus has done in breaking the power of death. Because at the end of this hymn that we sang just now, it says, "He is exalted high, a Prince and Saviour. And one day he's coming for everyone who has put their trust in him." That day is coming very soon, dear friends. Many, many signs. That day is coming soon when he will call all his own. He has already called the dead out of their graves. Jesus has done it a number of occasions. He did it at the grave of Lazarus. He did it at the there's a funeral procession, and there was a with the widow of Nain. There was many other times when Jesus raised others from the dead. And notice that even at the death of Jesus, in verse 53 of this passage, many bodies of the saints fallen asleep arose, going out of the tombs after his arising. Even at the death of Jesus, many people came out of the graves and went into Jerusalem. That is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He raises the dead. He raises those who are dead in their sins. And that, dear friends, is a reminder for us that one day he will raise every single true Christian, those who are dead and those who are still living, and he will take them all to heaven. Will you be amongst them, dear friends? That's the question tonight. That is the question. Can you know by faith that you will be amongst those that are going to be called up by Jesus at the time when he comes for all his own? May we have an assurance that we will be amongst those who are called and hear the voice of Jesus when he calls with a trumpet call for his name's sake.